As you probably know, Father Yurok is away. He's on his sabbatical in Rome. And as they say, when the pastor is away, the associates will work harder. That's it. All of our readings today concern Christian unity and what we do to foster Christian unity, true brotherhood among Christians. And a lot of the things that we hear Jesus say, like the parables and different statements about the kingdom, and they can be kind of, you know, mysterious and invite us to meditate and draw us into a deeper understanding. But today, all of our readings kind of have that very practical aspect. How do we do it? How do we live as a Christian people together and united? What we see, especially in the gospel, is that Christ is calling us to live to a higher standard of unity than just we're used to in our society. For one, he's saying that there is no excuse for vengeance, and there is no excuse for indifference. We cannot be indifferent when we are disunited, when we are broken away from our brothers and sisters, when there's something that divides us. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Go. Seek reconciliation. And that, of course, takes forgiveness. And you might know John Vanier, maybe not, but he's a Christian kind of pseudo-philosopher, and he gives five ways, things for us to do in order to prepare to forgive, in order to be able to forgive. First, we must refuse to seek revenge. We absolutely have to refuse to seek revenge. That is not a part of what a Christian does. Two, we must have heartfelt hope that the offender will have a change of heart, that the person who has offended us will change. We have to truly desire their good. Three, we try to understand why that person would offend us in that way. We try to come to understand what maybe motivated them to do that, what's going on in their life. Maybe it's something that we've done. Four, we remember that we too are sinners. You go back to that idea of remove the wooden beam from your own eye before pointing out the splinter in your brother's eye. Five, and then we have to have patience. We have to have patience because the heart of the person who may have offended us will not likely change overnight. And so we desire their good. We don't seek revenge. We pray for them. We try to understand them. And we have patience. And then, as Jesus says, we go to them. We seek that reconciliation. We forgive and we talk with them. First, one-on-one. And what that conversation must be based on is the truth. It must be based on the truth. We can't just beat around the bush. We have to come out with it. And it takes sometimes tough conversations to find true reconciliation. We have to call sins, sins. We have to call offenses for what they are, to seek true reconciliation, true reunion of that family, that brotherhood. True unity is found in the truth. And so we have to say sometimes the hard things. It takes courage, but it must be done. Because we're not all perfect saints, and we really shouldn't treat each other that way. There's that stereotype of like Christian churches that we see on like sitcoms and movies of this nice and peaceful place where everybody comes together and everybody's really polite and says like the overpious things, and they're just, you know, kind of living this almost utopian, peaceful church. And maybe there are churches that way, but that doesn't mean that they're truly united. And that's not something that we want. We want to be united in the truth, where we can truly be reconciled with our brothers and sisters and not just be, you know, sitting next to our fellow Christians and, you know, saying polite things. It's nice to be polite. That's great. We should be very warm to each other and charitable. Absolutely. But our unity should go much deeper. It should be heart to heart, a true brotherhood and sisterhood, a true unity of that family. And so why is unity such a big deal? Well, when we are united, we're at peace. Our hearts are at peace when we are united with our fellows. We do not harbor angry or grudgeful thoughts, and that opens us up to true freedom. Because when we do harbor those things, we are not at peace. We are not able to act the way we want. We're closed in on ourselves. But when we are able to forgive, when we're able to reconcile our offenses and differences, then we can truly live in peace. And then we go forward to work together to improve our community, to grow together to true Christian maturity. We can deepen our relationships and have true relationships that are mutually enriching and not just pleasant and, really don't do anything. Not just the show, but we can have true, true deep relationships. Because when we are disunited, we are stifled. We're not able to grow. We are not able to communicate. We're not able to reach out effectively to our world. And then on the spiritual side, unity, when we're truly united, brother to brother, sister to sister, as a family, our prayers carry more weight, you could say. Because when we're truly united, as Jesus says, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. When we are united that way, and truly, when we are united as the body of Christ, when there's no disunity or no division, when we are united, Christ is truly present again on the earth. As it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When we are united, Christ is present on this earth again. And then when the Heavenly Father looks down upon the earth and he sees this group of people truly united in a parish or all Christians, he sees his Son. And then that prayer, the prayer coming from that community, is the prayer of the Son back to the Father. A true prayer rising up that God, of course, will answer. Because his answer coming from the heart of his own beloved Son, the body of Christ present on the earth. And so this is something we must always strive for, even though it might be difficult, to seek reconciliation for the one with the one who may have offended us. It is not something we can be indifferent to. It is a true act of charity, a true act of love, a true act of courage to go out to seek to reunite what has been broken. Because when we can do that, we're fulfilling Christ's desire, his desire that we be united, that we be one, that he be present among us on this earth. And so we should seek to fulfill Christ's desire for us. It can be difficult. It's certainly not easy, but it's something to strive for. It's good for us. It's good for our world. And so it's something we should always seek to foster true Christian unity. Cast out the divisions that may separate us. Look past our own desires and seek Christ's desire that we may be one and that we may be a true Christian family.